Blog Talk Radio.
Difficulties. Got stuff jerry-rigged here, and so I need to get it into a more permanent configuration so that because of my main keyboard that I use, my grandson sort of did a number on it, and so, you know, space bar and things aren't working, so I have to switch out a keyboard and my mic. You know, I have to switch out the keyboard with the mic, and I keep forgetting that if I don't switch it out, then you won't be able to hear me. The mic is not working. So I had to plug that stuff back in here at the last minute. So I pray that you are able to hear me now. So if somebody could give me a mic check and let me know that I'm able to be heard okay.
We can hear you here in 1, 2, 3.
All right, check 1, 2, 3. Thank you. All right.
Is the mic on?
Yep. You can't hear me?
Don't look like it. I'm gonna call.
Hold on here. I'm talking, so why can't you guys hear me?
I can hear you, Brother Miles.
You can't. You can or you can't.
I can. This is the community. I can hear
you.
Okay.
Now.
All right. So you guys can hear me now. Okay.
Yes.
I didn't do anything. Just asked, could you hear me? Which I was just acting like y'all couldn't hear me. Okay. All right, so amen. So happy Sabbath, and we greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus of Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say welcome to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles, and we are going to be doing Our Elohim is a Consuming Fire. And as I was preparing for this, the Most High put it on my heart one way, and then as I got to study, he started showing me different things. And so y'all going to just have to bear with me this morning as we go through this. Yah will have to take us where he wants us to go, because I can't change the precept, and so he's going to have his way, whatever he wants said this morning. So we're going to look at this. Our Elohim, our God, is a consuming fire. On last evening, as we started the days of Noah, one of the things I was dreaming this morning, and I rarely dream these days, or if I do, I don't remember them a lot of times. But it was dealing with mankind and what they're doing to this planet through their greed, you know, knocking down all the forests, overfishing the ocean, you know, just destroying the land, the planet. And the Most High says that he's coming back to destroy those individuals that destroy his world, that are destroying his planet. But when he comes back, part of the thing that we're dealing with, and I think this is where how this precept came up, was that when he comes back, he's coming back as a consuming fire. And so we'll get into this. But as part of our discipleship and understanding as, you know, the saints of the Most High, we have to understand this and walk in fear of it. Because, you know, if we are not changed in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we won't be able to stand in his presence. He will consume us. And that means his presence will consume us, because that is what he is. He looks like fire. He is fire. And when we used to get the, you know, the cartoons and stuff, the devil and, the, you know, and fire and stuff like that, they never told you that the Most High himself is fire. So as we go through this morning, just, you know, as I said, bear, you know, be patient. The Most High is going to have his way. He's going to have to guide me through this one, because he put a lot of things in me and on my heart concerning this thing. But which direction I'm going to be going in it, I can't even tell you right now. All right, that being said, let us do our statement of faith. You may have the ladies who cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And here. Sister Lori, are you able to hear okay on your end? I didn't check on the online.
Yes, I can hear.
Okay. That sounds like Sister Lorraine.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, sir, I can hear.
Yeah, I was asking Sister Lori.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I can hear. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I was just making sure, having these technical difficulties, to make sure that I can hear on both, you know, I can be heard on all platforms. Now using the same thing, technology for all of it. All right. Let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Father, we give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise, for you are truly worthy of all the above, Father. There is none like you, O Elohim. There is none like you. And we thank you this morning for keeping us safe and providing for us and giving us a mind that we should be on you, Father, especially in these last wicked days, that you have not given us a spirit of deception, but you've given us a mind to be focused on you, Father, and we just thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. There is none like you, and another will we not bow down to. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim as we go before him in prayer on this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you walk contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our sin and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you. Father, and we are repenting of our wicked ways and turning from our sins. And we will not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. For our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplication and our prayers as we turn back toward you. Deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is awake or that is asleep first, Father, that you would wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Mashiach, that they will come and hear your voice and obey and return unto you, Father, and keep your Sabbath. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to First Kings. Chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their hearts and with all their souls in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep the commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah, thy Elohim, require of thee? But to fear Yah, thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve Yah, thy Elohim, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. Go after other Elohims which you have not known. The book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah, thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And let us sound the shofar.
I am humble, so I love.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And one of the things I want to start off with on this morning is for us to understand when the Most High says that he's consuming fire, what is he speaking of in relationship to that? And, you know, who should be in fear of him because of this being a consuming fire? So we're going to first do our, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let me run through our discipleship foundations before we, you know, head off headlong into this, because this is part of the discipleship series, and we want to make sure that always, that as his disciples, we understand what he requires of us, that we are reminded constantly that this is what's required to be his pupil, to be his student, to become like him. You know, these are not the words of Brother Miles, but these are the words of our Messiah. If you want to belong to me, you want to follow me, this is what's required, okay? And so to be his pupil is to become like him, and, you know, in mind, in thought, in spirit. So a pupil doesn't matter whether it's male or female. It's, we are all called to be Christ-like. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first thing that a disciple must do is be seeking the kingdom of Elohim first, and Elohim and his righteousness, his lawfulness. And I want to put a definition to this word righteousness. It means lawfulness, the ability to follow and do the law. That is righteousness, to do right. And what he defines by doing right is obeying his commandments, keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments and his ordinances. And some of that's going to be talked about today with him being a consuming fire. Okay? And all these things shall be added unto you. So seek the first disciple, you must first seek the kingdom of Elohim. Seek it first. Make it the first thing in your life. And his righteousness. The book of Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man... when a man has found, he hides, and for the joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So the kingdom of Elohim must be the most valuable thing in your life. It's more valuable than anything that you can own or have. And all that you have, you would be willing to sell it to obtain the kingdom. If you could buy the kingdom, all that you had, you would be willing to sell it. So it's got to be the most valuable thing in your life. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, have to consider the kingdom to be of so great value that you would sell your all, you would give your all to obtain it. The foundations of being a good disciple. Psalms chapter 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his commandments or his testimonies, and they seek him with the whole heart. So you got to first seek the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness. Then you got to have to make the kingdom the most valuable thing in your life, the most valuable person in your life, Messiah, the most valuable person in your life. And then you got to seek him with your whole heart. Can't give him a piece of you. Can't give him what's left over. You got to give to him first. And all that's within you to give to him, and let the world have the leftover. This is where we got to place him, to be his disciple. And if these things aren't, these aren't optional things, we're going to find out they're not optional. We should know that by now. We've gone over these enough. But, you know, we want to be constantly reminded that we need to do these things. This is, should be our mentality. Now, I'm not going to say should be our mentality. Has to be our mentality. It's not optional. If we don't do these things, we are not accepted with him. Psalm 119 and verse 34. Drop down to verse 34 if you follow me that way. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So everything that he wants from us is with our whole heart. He wants to be the most, the, us to value what, who he is and what he is and what he's offering us, the most valuable thing in our life. And we should seek after that first to obtain the kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people. And I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Israel, those that the descendants of Hebrew slaves who are scattered around the world, when they return to the Most High, they have to return with their whole heart. It is not an option. He's telling us what's required. Want to be his people? We got to give him our whole heart. If you are a Gentile, you want to be part of and included with his people, you got to give him your whole heart. Seek the kingdom first. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 26. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 26. If any man come to me, this is Messiah talking, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Not optional. Nobody and nothing else in your life can be more important than the Most High. And he says, I want you all. He says, and if you can't do that, then you can't be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That means bearing your cross, meaning to take up and do whatever it takes to follow him, to obey his voice, whatever that takes. Because if you're not able to do it, you cannot be my disciple. For which of you intends to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So the Most High, Messiah is saying, you know, I want you to consider, sit down and consider what it's going to cost you to follow me, what it's going to cost you to be my disciple. It'll cost you your everything. It costs you your everything. You know, like I said, if you go to our website, ever go to our website, our motto is the kingdom of heaven. This gospel is free. But the kingdom will cost you your all. Because he wants your all. And he don't want you putting nothing before him. He don't want you, you have your mother, you got motherly instinct. Your father, you got fatherly instinct. You got children, you got parents, relatives, friends, says, hey, none of them in your life can come before me. And you got to come at me with your whole heart. Can't make me be your third, second, not even your second priority. Got to be the number one priority in your life. So we got to understand these things. We got to sit down and consider it. What is it going to take to do this? So that we can come at it with, you know, with a real expectation in our own hearts. Because, you know, it's hard when you are taught, well, all you got to do is these things. All you do is just love the Lord. Do your best. It'll be all right. You know, do what you can. That's not what he's saying. I'm telling you now, and you're reading it for you, it's not what he's saying. That's what they're saying. He says, I want your all. And you got to give me your all, and you got to love me more than you love anything else, anything or anyone. You want to be my pupil? Then count the cost. So first, seek the kingdom of heaven. Make the Most High and Messiah. Make the Most High the most valuable person in your life, the kingdom most valuable thing in your life, speaking with your whole heart. Can't have anything that you love above him, number four, anything or anyone. And then you need to count the cost. These are the things that it takes to be his disciple. You know, and I'm sure there's some people that will say, hey, I can't do all that. That's fine. You know, that's fine. This is not for everyone. Everybody ain't making it into the kingdom either. So we have to be willing to do these things. All right, now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Remember, if you're not willing to do all those things, Messiah himself directly quoted, you cannot be my disciple. You can't be my pupil. And quite frankly, can't enter into my kingdom. Not as a citizen, at least. Might enter in as a prisoner, headed toward the lake, but that would be the only way. And, you know, I don't really, you know, since getting into this discipleship series like that, it's hard for me to even now understand or fathom how else could, you know, how could we have thought about this in any other way? Was the kingdom just something, you know, it's hard for me. My mind can't even go there now. How were we thinking about the kingdom of the Most High? How were we thinking about the Most High? What were we thinking? And when I'm saying we, I'm talking about me too. What were we thinking that he wanted? Just for us to admit that we were sinners? That was basically it? Yes, Most High, I was a sinner. And now I want to try to do good. He says, all right, you want to try to do good? You want to try to live righteous? It's going to take your all. Everything that you are, it's going to take that to do that. All right, to today's precept. Our Elohim, our God, is a consuming fire. Let us go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments. The statutes and the judgments. Because, as I said before, and I'm speaking to Israel now because you won't really hear Gentiles saying this, but you will hear Israel saying it. You know, we keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High. But you won't hear him say anything about his judgment. Nothing about it. But when we read today, we'll find out that this is exactly what he was talking about. This is your wisdom before the nations. His statutes and his judgment. If you do these things and you keep it, the other nations will look at you and say, you are a wise people. So let's read this. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment, which I teach you for to do them. I'm teaching you for you to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yah thy Elohim, which Yah Elohim of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto, and this is what we're going to look at here shortly. I'm going to bring it up on the screen for those that are, you know, online. Because, you know, we're going to do a little exercise here. You shall not add unto the word which I command you. Don't add unto it, neither shall you diminish out from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you. Now, I'm going to bring it up on the screen here, this document. And let's see, I don't know if that's readable on your end. It's bigger on my screen, but on my computer, my laptop, it looks smaller. So I don't know. Is that readable for you guys?
Yes, Brother Bowles, I can read it.
All right, thank you. All right. On the left-hand side, we have a set of Ten Commandments. And I'm not going to tell you where these are from yet. And then on the right side, we have the actual Ten Commandments. And, you know, when I saw this morning, I had never really, nothing had ever really said, go check this. Okay. And so as I'm looking at this, to go get these Ten Commandments. So I'm going to read them to you from the left-hand list. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. That's number one. You shall not, number two, you shall not take the name of the, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Their second commandment. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Third commandment. Fourth, honor your father and your mother. Fifth commandment, you shall not kill. Sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Seventh, you shall not steal. Eighth, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Nine, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's good. Now, let's read the actual Ten Commandments. One, thou shalt have no other God before me. Two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In the first list that we read from, their second commandment was, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But in the Bible it says, you shall not make unto you any graven image of anything that's in the heavens above or on the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. So I want to talk about this for a second, because clearly this second commandment has just been completely removed from whoever's list, and I'll tell you whose list these commandments belong to in a second. But this is their Ten Commandments, okay? When you take out the commandment to not make any graven image of anything that is in the heavens or that is in the earth, or that is under the, in the earth or under the earth or in the water, thou shalt not bow thyself down to them. If you take that out, do you think it would be easy to have statues of Mary and Jesus in your sanctuaries or in your come in and take the knee to them, bow yourself down to them, say a prayer to the statue? There's nothing in your Ten Commandments that forbids it. But because they have diminished or taken away from the Ten Commandments, they've actually changed it, removed this commandment, so that they can justify bowing down to statues. Okay. Commandment number three. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain, for Yah thy Elohim will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. But their fourth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Their third one was remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Now, their second one was, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So that's the third commandment in the scriptures. But in there, because they deleted or removed the complete second commandment, they removed it, then, you know, the commandments sort of move up one on the list. But when it says the Lord's day, and then the Lord's day, even though Messiah say, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, if you redefine the Lord's day to the day that you say that he came out of the tomb, the day that he, you know, stepped back into the world, the Lord's day, and that was on a Sunday, and this is what you teach your people, once again, you have added to the scriptures, you have changed the law, you have modified it, because according to their definition of the Lord's day, it's not the seventh day of the week. It is the first day of the week. But the Most High himself said, remember, and as I said on last night, a lot of this stuff is going to start flowing together. It's going to be hard for me to keep it separated because it's, you know, it's so entwined in everything. What this wickedness that, you know, we're seeing in the world. The one commandment that we're told to remember should be a key. You should have that word highlighted, underlined, asterisk, whatever you need to do to make it stand out in your Bible. That you remember the Sabbath day. not the Lord's day. Now, technically speaking, the way that they have this written, that's why I said it's important. It's important that you put a name to the Lord. Because Lord is really nondescript. So when they say, remember to keep holy the Lord's day, who are they talking about? Who are they talking about, number one? But number two, his commandment says to remember the Sabbath day, not the Lord's day. The Lord's day, as far as is in the book, don't exist, except for Messiah said, as I said, Messiah said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. But if you don't mention the Sabbath, and you say the Lord's day, and now you leave it free to where you can define that, and they have defined that as day of the week. Okay? Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Now, it further defines that, which in their commandments, it doesn't define this because they changed it. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim, in that thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. Why? For in 6 days, Yahweh Elohim, Yah made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Yah blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. But if you just say, remember the Lord's day, and leave out all this other stuff, then it's going to be okay with you to worship on the first day of the week. Because you modified and you changed the commandments of the Most High. And saying that these are his words. This is the word of the Most High. But they added to it and took away. Not just paraphrase. Added to and took away. Completely eliminated the second commandment. And now they have modified and changed the fourth commandment. Let's continue. Now we can drop down to the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness thy neighbor, the ninth commandment. Theirs is, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Okay, now why did they do that? It says there's 10 commandments. They got to find a way. If you deleted one, you got to find a way to come back up with 10. So what they do? They took the 10th commandment and split it. There says, their ninth commandment is, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. But the ninth commandment in the scriptures is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, that's their eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's their eighth commandment. And their ninth commandment is, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. But that's actually part of the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not, the 10th commandment in the scriptures. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And it didn't copy that whole thing, so let me go there. Give me a hot second here. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So they took the 10th commandment and split it. There's Reed. You should not cover your neighbor's wife. Well, that's part of the 10th commandment. You should not covet your neighbor's good. So they summed that up. But the truth of the matter is, they took the 10th commandment, broke it into two, made one part of it the 9th commandment, and one part of it the 10th. And they had to do that. So again, they modified the word of the Most High. They modified his law. And they had to do that because they eliminated his commandment not to make images of anything in the heavens above or the earth or in the waters and bow yourself down to them. Now, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about by now. But the Ten Commandments that we read first, those are the Ten Commandments of the Roman Catholic Church. Okay. And the Roman Catholic Church changed the law. Just flat out just eliminated one commandment because it didn't fit. I mean, yeah, eliminated one commandment because it didn't fit what they wanted to do. We like bowing down to statues. We have statues of Zeus and Athena and Mars and Mercury. All these deities that are in these other religions that the Catholic Church sort of absorbed, took over, this is how they conquered. As they conquered, they didn't utterly destroy the people's religion that they conquered. They assimilated them and let them keep some of what they believed. And so they could keep the statues of their deities. They didn't say, oh, well, here's a statue of the Most High God. And here's a statue of his mother Mary and the infant Jesus or Yeshua. Now, when you come into the Catholic faith, and I grew up Catholic at first, sorry to at least, you come into, I forget even what they call it now, a rosary, the parish. You come into the parish, and that's a heck of a name, now that I'm thinking about it. You come into the parish, and when you enter into the building, the first thing you do is take a knee. Because right there, right at the entrance, not in the entrance, but, you know, set off in the back, but at the entrance is a statue of Mary and Jesus. And you bow and you do, or not bow, but you take a knee, and you do the symbol of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in that form and that cross. Get your rosary and get up. And then go into, you know, do whatever you're going to do. Whether you were going to come to confession or you're coming to Mass, whatever it is. But, you know, I never really had checked what the actual Ten Commandments were that they were following. And so if you were never taught, if you were never taught from the Bible, not from the Roman Catholic Bible, but the actual, you know, even the KJV Bible, which is what 99% of all Bibles read like. The difference is the Roman Catholic Bible have the same book, but they modified it, changed it. So he said, don't add to or take away from. Well, they deleted a commandment. They modified a commandment. And then to cover up their deception, they split the 10th commandment so they can come up with 9 and 10. So we got to understand it. Now, I brought this up as an example so that we can understand the changing, how the changing of the word of the Most High, because he says, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I'm telling y'all to go back. I need to go back to it. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you. So don't add to or take away from. Well, we see that they clearly took away from. And then they renumbered and split a commandment so they can make 10. And in the fourth commandment, they modified it. And they actually changed it by taking away from it, not adding to it. Well, they did add to it because they added, you know, the Lord's Day. They changed that from the Sabbath. So we have to understand that this is an example of adding to or taking away from. Now, when we are doing, and that's why I said it's going to be hard for me to do this, as we're doing the days of Noah, when we started next week, because I was just describing, you know, the earth and mankind, and we're going to continue in that on next Sabbath. But how, when it started off, the Most High said everything was good. But then we have here, we'll see how men chose to modify the laws of the Most High. And this is this one commandment, remember the Sabbath day. This is part of a covenant all to itself. So we have the covenant that the people entered into, and inside of that covenant that they entered into was the covenant of the Sabbath itself. And I don't think a lot of people realize that the Sabbath is a covenant unto itself, separate and apart from the other covenant. And when you change the fourth commandment, you actually are bringing yourself from under the covenant of the Sabbath. And I know why they did it, because they had no intention of keeping the Sabbath. They had no intentions of bringing themselves up under it. I think they understood that the Sabbath itself was a covenant by itself, separate and apart from the law, the statutes, the commandments, the ordinances. It is an ordinance for unto itself. So we're going to see this because this is going to go to the message that, as I said, in this the days of Noah, when we see in the last times, in these end times, that if you're not keeping Sabbath, you're not within the covenant. Okay, now they have removed the rule. They have removed the actual covenant from the commandment. They changed the law. And so we got to understand that that is what's going on today. I think the world's population is about 7 billion people. 7 billion. And almost half of the world's population is Catholic. But that doesn't, it doesn't stop there. That's just the mother. All the other churches came out of the Catholic Church. And you can lump them all up under Protestant. Simply means to protest the Catholic Church. We are in protest of the doctrine of the Catholic Church. But when they came out, they splintered off into all these different denominations. But some of them, or most of them, if not all of them, but a couple, kept to keep the Lord's Day, remember the Lord's Day. So I think that in our witness, we should be able to use it. Remember the Lord's Day. When you're talking to somebody that goes to church on Sunday, remember the Lord's Day. And when you're talking to them about it, ask them, is that in your Bible? Because this is a strange thing. This is a strange thing. Their Ten Commandments read the way that I read it to you from the KJV. And the only church whose Bible read the way that I read it to you was the Catholic Church. But yet and still, all these Protestant churches, don't matter whether they call themselves Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, whatever they're calling themselves, you can just take whatever name of the 30,000 different varieties, 30,000 different denominations, and you can lump them up under, all up under one heading. Protestant. Okay. And they are keeping Sunday. And they are not keeping the Sabbath. And so as we go through this, you're going to see that, hey, because they're not keeping Sabbath, they are not in the covenant. Okay. Now let's continue reading in chapter 4. Just wanted to show you that as an exercise, that here's what they say, this is what the word of the Most High says. Oh, wait a minute, you just completely deleted that one and you changed this one and you split that one. Changing the laws, changing times. Adding to and taking away from the word of the Most High. Okay. Now, as I told you on the other night, the Sabbath being a covenant within itself tells you who is the authority of the law, who is the head of the law. What territory the law covers. So who is the author of it? the Most High. What is the story? Heaven and earth. And this is my seal. This is the agreement. And this is why you are doing it. So we'll go over that. We'll discuss seals specifically. I'm not doing it any justice right now, but we will discuss seals specifically because you have to see that the fourth commandment is a seal, like a stamp. You know, when you got married and you got your marriage license, they gave you that marriage license. They put the seal of the state on it, and then the notary notarized it. That's what the fourth commandment is. And on that seal that they have the state, it tells you what day the state was founded, what, you know, the state itself would be the territory, so forth. And I have to give the parts of a seal so that you understand that this fourth commandment is a seal. And it ties you to the Most High. So obeying his voice seals you. So we'll see that. But let's get continuing this. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what Yah did because of Baal Peor. Lord Peor. Since your eyes have seen what I did because of Baal Peor. For all men that follow Baal Peor, Yah thy Elohim has destroyed them from among you. Now these men went after with the Moabite women. Some of the Moabite women were Moabite priests, were priests of Baal. And they started turning them, you know, into worshiping Baal. And it was mainly a sexual thing. And so the Most High had to destroy those men and those women from out of Israel. So he's reminding them, your eyes have seen what Yah did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, Yah thy Elohim has destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto Yah your Elohim are alive, every one of you, this day. So everybody that stayed on the Most High, didn't run after Baal Peor, didn't run after that worship, didn't let their bodies take over like, you know, everything was all about the flesh. And for a lot of us it is. And if we don't get control of it, it will ruin your life, trust me. In the next life, you won't be worried about this flesh, trust me. Have to get hold of and control of this flesh. Can't just be running around doing whatever you want to do. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. Now, these statutes and judgments are very important. Because the statutes tell us what to do, and the judgments tell us what the penalties are and the charges are if we don't do it. Okay? Even as Yah, my Elohim, commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them. Do them, the judgments and the commandments, the judgments and the statutes. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Israel was supposed to keep these things and perform them in everything. And if a stranger came into Israel, they had to follow the same statutes, laws, commandments, the judgment of the Most High. And he says, keep them and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which you shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now, these statutes were supposed to make the nation say that we are a wise and understanding people. Only one problem with that, we wouldn't do it. Let's continue. For what nation is there, verse 7, for what nation is there so great who has Elohim so nigh or so near unto them as Yah, our Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Now, I told you a lot of these terms, statutes, law, commandments, judgment, ordinances, you can sum it all up as the law. The law. His statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. Say, the law. All of it. The law incorporates all those things. So when they want to say that they're not up under the law, then they want to say that they don't have to keep the statute, the commandment, the judgment, the ordinances. Because see, some of these terms are repetitive. They mean the same thing. And then we try to separate them out. But if you want to have a simplistic way of looking at it and saying it, his statutes, his commandments, ordinances, his judgments, all equal the law. Not just the Ten Commandments. So when we were supposed to be doing these things, then all the nations were supposed to say that we were a wise people. So let's talk about this for a minute, because I bring this up, and hold on a second. Somebody had a question. All right, so the sister asked, here's the question, and I'll answer this, you know, right now. Make sure that I'm understanding it. Are we not upholding the falsehoods of going to church on Sunday? So if we go, are we not helping them to disobey God? And I'm going to say, that yes, if we are not teaching them to obey Sabbath, then we are helping them to disobey God. And if we're going with them on Sunday and they don't keep Sabbath, then we are participating with them, even if we keep Sabbath, because they're there thinking it's their Sabbath. So I would say, yes, we are helping them. We are going along with them. Okay. Now, there is not a sin in holding church on Sunday. The sin is not keeping Sabbath. And the sin in that is when you make Sunday your Sabbath. Sin. So when you make Sunday your Sabbath, that's a sin. And when you don't keep the Sabbath, that's a sin. Because what they did was change the Sabbath day from the seventh day to the first day. Well, that's a sin. So I hope that answers your question. And Sister Lori, you can just unmute your phone and just, you don't have to type that out. If you have further questions on that. Okay, let's continue. So, you know, the church, the early church always did church business or did ministering and the spreading of the gospel and that kind of stuff. They met all days of the week. But, you know, typically in the scriptures, you will find it say on the first day of the week. First day of the week is Sunday. What the church today is doing and has done since the Catholic Church came into conception is they changed the Sabbath day to Sunday and disregarded the Sabbath, the seventh day. So the early church kept Sabbath. They kept the seventh day holy. And they still met, and they praised the Most High, and they worshiped, and they taught the gospel on the first day of the week, too. But they kept Sabbath. So my understanding from the scriptures is, and according to today's standards, it's not a sin to meet on Sunday. The sin is in the people's hearts and in their minds because they have made Sunday the Sabbath, and they don't keep Sabbath itself. That would be the sin. So I pray that. And if we go on Sunday with them and that's their understanding that Sunday is their Sabbath, then yeah, we help them to disobey the Most High. And we help, you know, and we are complicit in it with them. And if you want to bring them out of it, and you have to tell them, you know, you don't have to be offensive, but simply ask, you know, or say, hey, why don't you keep Sabbath? And if they say today is our Sabbath, then ask them, what does the scripture say? Does the scripture say the first day of the week is the Sabbath? And then if they say, well, what day is the first? Because, you know, I've had these different discussions and arguments with all kinds of different people. So I'm just going to tell you the simplest thing to do is if you have to have a calendar with you or bring it up on your phone, whatever, if you're in one of their buildings, find a calendar and say, okay, on this calendar, what is the first day of the week and what is the seventh day of the week? Because this is what the Most High is going to hold you to. And they'll look at their calendar and say, oh, Sunday is the first day of the week. Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. So how is Sunday your Sabbath? Now, that's clearly a way that you can show them. Now, they have to choose. What are they going to do? So I pray that answers the question. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments, so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Keep your soul diligently, meaning that you are going to obey these things diligently. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou they that depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, children. Do you really think that we would have children that would just blatantly disobey their parents if you taught them the judgments of the Most High? Thus says Yah Elohim, if your child curses you, they're supposed to die. That's the judgment. He says, if you do these things, the other nations will say you are a wise nation and a just nation. If your child hits you, the judgment of the Most High, that child is to die. Now, do you think if you taught your children that from the beginning, and if they knew that it was a real thing, do you think we would have children acting the way we have them acting today? If we brought children into an environment and said, hey, in this environment, children don't act that way. And this is why. This is what we live by. Do you think that they would think 2, 3, 4 times if they thought that they did something really wrong, that the punishment that would come? That they would actually do it? But because this is the one part of this that I found from Romans chapter 1 or 2 that the Most High accuses Israel and really the world, that you don't keep my judgment. So therefore, you are more righteous. You made yourself more righteous than me. In other words, you placed your righteousness above mine. And this is what is right. And this is how you're going to keep all of that mess out of your country, from among your people. The truth of the matter is, if we were doing everything that the Most High said to do, then all the world would be looking at us saying, wow, your children are some of the most well-behaved. Y'all don't have drug problems. Y'all don't have prostitution problems. Y'all ain't got all this illicit sex going on. And it's from your youth. Because a lot of these behaviors, because we have been so out of control, we're doing things from early teenage and even sometimes even before then that the Most High says is a no-no. If we're having sex, and, you know, I can speak for myself, babysitter 17, I'm 9. She introduces me to sex. Now, from that moment on, I could not get that back, and not like I was trying to get it back at that time, because I had no clue. Either way, I had no clue. I just knew that this was always on my mind from that point on. Now, if that was a male doing that to a young girl, she was going to be defiled and corrupted from that time forward. And these are common things that are amongst our society, amongst our people. I know it's amongst all people. That, you know, sex at an early age, oh, it's okay. It's expected today. Until we come to the Most High and realize, hey, oh no, I'm not a virgin that labels me as this. And I'm not going to even say. We already know what the labels are. And so then we have to terms with our own self. And the thing about it is, most of the time, I won't say most of the time, yeah, I'm going to say most of the time, most of us enjoyed it and reveled in it, even bragging about how good we were at it, even different sexual acts, trying to become an expert, subject matter expert on this sex act. And then we come and we meet the Most High and we realize, oh snap, this is not a good thing in the eyes of the Most High. But then when you got that spirit, it's hard to let that go. Because that spirit of lasciviousness, that spirit of fornication, they are hard spirits to let go of. Because they're driven by the body. They're driven by pleasure. That's what why a lot of people can't give up drugs. Drugs work on the basis of pleasure. They make the person feel a certain way, feel better than they were feeling without the drug. So pleasure drives a lot of things. So the Most High says, these are my judgments. When the people in the community start becoming corrupt like this, this is my judgment to get it from among you. Well, when you live in a society that's the norm, it's even more harder for you to come from under it. Verse 9 again. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them unto thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thah stoodest before Yah, thy Elohim, at Horeb, when Yah said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my word. Now again, he's repeating to them, this is what happened at Horeb. I told you to make the people get ready. I'm going to come down and introduce myself to them. And they're going to hear me speak. You're not going to see me, but they're going to hear me. That they may learn to fear me. This was the intent from the very beginning. Israel was supposed to fear their God, their Elohim. All the people were supposed to fear him. That they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. So if you're not teaching your children to fear the Most High, and from the fear that he wants, because see, I talked to some brothers about this word fear. They said, no, that's reverence, deep respect. I'm like, brother, that is not what that word fear right there means. Do you tremble? Hear what I'm saying now. Do you tremble out of somebody that you have deep respect for? That deep respect, that reverence is not a fear. It's a deep respect. But it don't equal fear. I've known a lot of men in my life and women that I have deep respect for, but I don't fear them. I don't tremble when they talk. To me, I'm looking for that person that fears me and trembles at my word. That means that you got, there's a different level here altogether. And so when people read this fear, they try to define the fear for themselves rather than letting the scriptures define the fear, the level of fear, the type of fear that the Most High is wanting. when he says that you may learn to fear me. This is not having a deep respect. It is beyond that. You got to know that you mess up with him, it's going to cost you your life. So imagine, and the only thing that I can really equate this to, that we understand in these days, if you ever looked at any of the mob movies, and you had, The Godfather, and if you were one of his soldiers, you had pledged your life to the mafia. And the only way out of this organization was feet first, meaning you come into it, you don't go out of it. You never get out of it till you die. So if it's disobedience, through disobedience, you cheated on them or whatever, stole money, didn't do what they told you to do, you died. The Most High's organization is the same. This organization is the same. So I know that if you were dealing with a mob boss and you knew that they were a mob boss and you knew that if you disrespected them in any kind of way, they just have somebody kill you. You would have a deep level of respect. And unless you thought you were his equal and you had just as much muscle behind you, then, yeah, you would be trembling at his words, too. But you knew that he could bring not just pain, but he could bring death. And so the Most High is the same way and worse to you. Number one, you better be listening. Number two, you better obey. Because if you don't, it is death. It's the type of death that I'm going to give you. It's not just that relieving you of taking a breath. Because I'm the Most High. I'm going to meet you after that. I'm going to wake you up. Then I'm going to give you that eternal life. And now here's your new death in the lake of fire. And if you could squirm, you'd be squirming all over the place, rolling around in that fire, because you can't get away from it. But you can't die. So he wants us to fear him on a completely different level. Yes, you better have respect, but you better really fear him and tremble at his word. That's a different level of respect. That's fear. Somebody who wants to say, do you respect me? Yeah, I respect you. Do you fear me? No, I don't think so. You don't want to say that to the Most High. Do you fear me? You better know the right answer is yes. And then you better really do it. Be in fear of him. So, like I said, the closest thing that I could equate it to is like the mafia. And I think the mafia got their standards from the Most High, from the Bible. That Godfather was the God of that organization. And what he said went. And if you offended him, you died. And all of his soldiers knew that. All of his lieutenants, they knew that. You died. Or depending upon the level of the offense, you might have got your hand cut off. a finger cut off. You know, let's say you told a lie, you got caught in a lie. Well, just take his pinky finger. See if you want to lie again. Then you're going to serve with a level of fear. And the problem is that the Most High is not coming down and taking fingers or telling people right away. And people don't understand that they have to have that level of fear with him. Let's continue. So you should be teaching this level of fear to your children. Verse 11, and you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of the heavens, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And Yah Elohim spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of words of the words, but saw no similitude. So they heard the Most High speaking out of the cloud, and he spoke to them for 6 days. 6 days, giving them the law. Moses didn't give them the law. It was first given to them by the Most High. In 6 days, they heard the voice. And then when they were supposed to go talk to the Most High directly, like, Moses, you go talk to him. They couldn't stand it. But saw no similitude, only you heard the voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of stone. And Yah commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take you therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that Yah spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth upon the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which Yah your Elohim has divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. But Yah has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, Yah was angry with me for your sake, and swear that I should go, and swear that I should not go over Jordan, that I should not go in unto the good land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan. But you shall go over and possess that good land. Now, because Moses let the people get the better of him, caused him not to be able to enter into land. He messed up once. Most High says, you ain't going over. You're going to get to look and see what you could have went into, but you're not going over. And we want to say that we want to be his pupil. We want to be his disciple. We want to belong to him. Mess up constantly. The Elohim we serve doesn't do mess up constantly, especially the closer you get to him. The closer you get to him, the less he takes of you messing up, because you should know. He don't play. Take heed unto yourself, lest you forget the covenant of Yah, your Elohim, which he made with you, and make your graven images or the likeness of anything which Yah, thy Elohim, has forbidden you. For Yah, thy Elohim, is a consuming fire, even a jealous Elohim. Now, this consuming fire, since you're going to see him as the consuming fire, if you don't keep the covenant, if you don't keep the law, his judgment, his nature is to burn up those things that are unrighteous, unlawful, to cleanse the land, to cleanse the environment of it. That's his nature. So in a sinful state, we would never be able to see the Most High face to face. We would never be able to see him in his natural element, in his natural form. And even in his natural form, he hid himself from the people when he came down on Mount Horeb. But he came down in his natural form. But he didn't allow them to see him. But his presence showed his nature. The mountain caught on fire, and the rocks began to melt like lava. And when he returns, when he returns, this time coming, he says, no, I'm not going to destroy the earth by water, by flood, ever again. I'm not going to destroy it by flood, but I'm going to destroy it by fire. And as I said, as I was laying in bed this morning, and these thoughts of what man is doing to the planet, destroying the planet, polluting the planet, being immoral, when he returns in his natural form, the only thing that's going to be able to abide, to survive coming, especially when he first comes, you're going to need to be changed. So he tells us in the scriptures, beloved, now are you the sons of Elohim. Let me get this first. Second here. Okay. Oh. Yeah, see, I got an issue going on here. I can't do it that way. Hold on. John chapter 3. The book of 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to get to verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. They hadn't saw him as he is. But he's going to be ready to show us himself as he is. And the only way that we can be in his presence is that we are changed and made to be as he is. Come in his fiery form. You want to know what you're going to look like? Want to know what your body's going to, the nature your body's going to take on? Same nature as his body. He's a consuming fire, and that's just not to mean that he gets rid of stuff or he cleans up stuff. That is really the way that his body is. That's his true nature. And it, when he activates himself when he activates himself in performance of a task or as naturally happens, if there's sin around him, he will consume it. No more sin. Consumed. Gone. Cleaned up. It's like you're a mess. Like you are a spilled product on the floor. Somebody comes by and mops you up. Well, in this case, if it's sin or corruption or unrighteousness, the Most High in his natural form, if you meet him in his natural form, he would consume you, clean you up, but you won't exist anymore because you will be burnt up. Just like he did with Nadab and Abihu, just like he did with the 250 men who called themselves priests, but they had no authority to call themselves a priest, like a high priest. And in a matter of seconds. So imagine this. Imagine you're the holy person. And you got your brothers and your sisters. Let's say your nieces and your nephews, your cousins, they're relatives, but they don't come exactly from the same family that you're in. They are, but they're not. You know, we're blood, but my mother and father was this, and your mother and father was this. So we're related, but we got our immediate blood family. That's like Aaron and his son. Then you had the rest of the Levites. They all were from Levite, but then we had the family of Aaron and his sons. They were the high priest. And then the rest of the Levites had jobs that were assigned to them, whether it was carrying the Ark of the Covenant or breaking down the sanctuary, whatever jobs they had. And so you had a certain sect of those brothers come and challenge. They come and challenge you. You ain't all that. We got just as much right as you do. And we got just as much authority as you do. And you say, okay, you got just as much authority as I do? Go get your incense censer, the thing that you burn incense in. Go get it. Be here tomorrow. You got just as much authority and right as I do, as we do. Go get your incense holder and come and burn incense before the Most High. Come and burn incense before his altar. And let's let him judge. Men knew they weren't authorized to do that. But they took Moses up on his challenge. Next day they come back, 250 men come back with their incense, and they are burning incense before the altar of the Most High. And the Most High burns all of them up to ashes. Moses is trying to run. I forget what he's trying to run back in. So he told Aaron to run back in and get his incense holder, I believe is what he told him to go get. And before Aaron could run back from the altar, the stairs of the altar of the tabernacle to get his incense holder and come back, these men were a crisp. Nothing left but their incense holders. So if Moses could only mess up once, we ought to be very afraid. You say you got a relationship with the Most High? Then you ought to be very afraid to mess up. Understand that. You ought to be very afraid to mess up. So the only way we're going to be able to survive his coming is to be like him. Now again, all these things are leading up to the final day. All these things are leading up to us understanding this covenant that we're in. All these things are leading up to who's going to survive it and how are you going to survive. And you got to know and understand that you're going to be turned into to be like him. Got to be like him, not just in his ways, but even in his very in your very body, you also are going to become a consuming fire. Think about that. Think about that. But see, do we believe the scriptures? Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him, key words are, as he is. You can't see him as he is right now. If he appeared right now to you as he is, and he did not change you in the twinkling of an eye, you would burn up on the spot. Whoosh. He always appeared to men in another form or hid himself from them in a dark cloud, in a very dark cloud. Now think about that. Ooh. Says the Most High will appear to you in deep darkness. That's to hide himself from you, from us, that he might not consume us. That's why it says no man has met the Most High face to face and lived. Even Moses said he wanted to see his face, and the Most High said, I'll let you see what? My back. But you can't see my glory. If you see my glory, if you see me in true form, Moses, you ain't going to survive. You'll die. But let me put you in this crop, Let me put you in this crack. And when I pass by, you can look at my hind part. But you can't look at me in the face. And even though you're my servant, that won't fare well for you. And it's something about this that tells me that this is an automatic nature of the Most High. Meaning that hard, you know, it's hard this way, but it, I'm going to have to say it this way. It's almost like he wouldn't be able to help himself. His nature is to consume unrighteousness, iniquity in his natural form. What he's made is like his essence is made to do that. And if he appeared before us in his natural form and we are sinful, he would consume us by fire. So when he returns, he's returning in this form, in his true form. And we're going to look at that when we start, you know, as part of, I said, the part of the days of Noah, as it relates to the future prophecy of Messiah's return. We're going to look at Messiah in his true form and what the scriptures say concerning him. But know that it starts off with your understanding that he is a what? A consuming fire. And that if we are going to be like him, we're going to be around him, we're going to have on that same nature. But when we start talking about the world to come, there is no seed. There is no atmosphere. There's no atmosphere. So consider this. How many people do you think would be able to survive on this planet with no atmosphere? None of us. How many people do you think would be able to survive on this planet with no seed? No water, none of us. Our very bodies have to be changed in order to live in that environment. No air, no water. Now, this is not during what they call the millennial kingdom, but after the millennial kingdom. During the millennial kingdom, they're still going to be fishing. They're still going to be eating. People are still going to be multiplying until that 1,000 years are up. So some of these things that I'm telling you, they're not part of Messiah's reign on the earth as Messiah. This is after the 1,000 years. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The new heaven, I think we need some homework out of this. No, I'll wait for you to finish the homework you already have. It'll be too much. But as for the new heavens and the new earth, we're given a description of them. Different places, different parts. Know that there is no atmosphere. There is no water. So you as a saint of the Most High, you as a child of the Most High, to be in his presence, to even live on the planet, you could not do it in the form that you are now. You must be changed in the twinkling of an eye. You must have put on eternity. You must have become like him to survive in his environment. He created this environment for us, not for him. Think about that. And he so loved us, he wanted us to live in a perfect environment forever. as men. But we messed that up. And we're going to make it so bad. They says, you know what? I'm going to have to come and cleanse all of this. You, through your greed and your wantonness and whatever else that men get into that is unlawful to the magnitude that you do it, you have completely corrupted the beautiful world that I created for you. So now I'm going to give you eternal life and let you come and live in mine. I came when I showed you. If I come into your environment, mountains start quaking. I touch on them, I land on them, or I still have my presence self-known on them, they start to melt. They start to melt. That's what he showed Israel at Mount Sinai. Imagine this. And, you know, somebody can think about this and maybe answer it. But how strong would the wind have to be to crack open a boulder? So around where you're at, you know, if you got mountains in your area, you happen to be driving by, I want you to look at a boulder. And, you know, a boulder is a real thick rock. Be different sizes, but think about a big boulder. How strong would the wind have to be that when the wind hit this boulder, that it would cause this boulder to crack? Not saying using another boulder to crack it. The wind by itself. This is what happened when the Most High showed up. He's coming in, boulders are cracking. He lands on wherever he lands, and the earth begins to melt. All around it just starts melting. You couldn't abide in his presence. Now, and he did this through a thick, dark cloud. This is what happened. I got myself shielded from you. If I took this thick dark cloud away and you were to see my true essence, you could not abide in it. You could not live in my presence in your state you are now. Good or bad, you couldn't do it. My glory and my majesty would consume everything around here. So he says, I got to make you like me. And I'm not going to make you like me if you don't convert and are able to live lawful lives, righteous lives. So with that being said, on this evening, I don't know what the precept's going to be yet, but understand that our God is a consuming fire. You're going to become like him. And to not become like him means that you are no longer going to exist on this plane, on this earth. Once you go into the lake, that's it. You in there, can't burn up, but you ain't got nothing to do with nothing out here. Nobody ain't got nothing to do with you in there. And what the important thing is, and give me a hot second here. One moment, please. All right. So the Most High has said that we're going to be like him. Just but be careful not to add to or take away from his law. And then I showed you an example of where somebody actually did add to and take away from his law. And specifically his Sabbath. So I think I'm going to continue in this on this evening from the standpoint of showing you that the Sabbath itself is a covenant, a separate covenant. Even though it's part of the Ten Commandments, it is a covenant all by itself, separate and apart. And so even when he got rid of the first covenant, the covenant of the Sabbath never went away because it wasn't part of it. It was, how do I say this? It was a part of it, but it was a completely separate covenant also unto itself. And it's perpetual, forever. So you won't see it spoken of in the New Testament as part of the New Covenant because it was already included in a covenant all by itself. And in the New Covenant, he says, hey, I'm going to write my laws in your heart and in your mind. But to keep his Sabbath, that commandment was perpetual and separate and apart. I'm including this in this. I'm including this covenant in this covenant. If I do away with this covenant right here, the covenant of the Sabbath still stands. I hope I'm explaining that where it's clear. So I have two separate covenants: the covenant of the Sabbath and the covenant of you keeping my statutes, my laws, my commandments. One of the commandments in this covenant is to keep my Sabbath, but that same Sabbath covenant is also separate and apart from this. I'm including it in it, but it's a separate covenant. So it's never going to be that a law, it's never going to be that you don't keep the Sabbath. He ordained it from the very beginning. So I think the lesson to preach up is going to be, let me show you that the Sabbath is its own separate covenant. And it's forever. The Most High could get rid of the new covenant. And because you don't read about the covenant of the Sabbath in the new covenant, the covenant of the Sabbath will still stand. The Most High will still honor his seventh day. It's to honor him, and it's to show who you worship. It's to show who you worship and who you're given authority in your life. And when we don't keep Sabbath, we're not keeping that covenant. But the Sabbath is part of the Latter-day Covenant to show who belongs to the Most High and who doesn't. So we'll, I think we need to establish that. I think I'll use this time on this evening to do that, to show you that his Sabbath is a covenant. That is a separate one. All right, with that being said, on Sunday during the day, spiritual wellness, we are looking at specifically who instituted Sunday worship. That was your homework. Who instituted it? And why do the churches keep Sunday? Because, you know, it shouldn't be just Brother Miles that tells you. These are things that you can find out for yourself. And so that was the homework. Who instituted the Sabbath? The Sabbath. Who instituted Sunday worship? And why do the churches say that they keep it? Because, as I said, at the end of this series, I want us to go to our, you know, our relatives, our friends that we know, and ask them to keep Sabbath. To come out of her. So you will know who Babylon is in Revelation. We're going to let the scripture identify who Babylon is. We're going to let Revelation identify to you who the beast with the two horns is that speaks like a lamb, but talks like a that acts like a lamb, but talks like a dragon. And what he's going to do. Who is that? Who is the whore that's sitting on top of the beast? We're going to identify all these things because all of these things come into play when we start identifying just as it was in the days of Noah. So before we end on today, a thought I want you to have in your mind. Sister Lori, on your second question, if you don't make it at the White Throne Judgment, will you not get to see the Father at all? Remember, after judgment, the Father comes. Okay. Let me just say it to you this way, my sister. That is a doctrine that is taught by the churches. Okay.
No, Brother Miles. I think you misunderstood my question. I said you won't get to see the Father if you don't make it through White Throne Judgment. And that's scripture, because after, you remember, after judgment, then God comes. I was just adding to what you were saying, that hey, you're not even going to get to see God if you don't make it.
Yeah, and I would have to say to you, my sister, you would have to understand who Messiah is. That's where I told you that that oneness of God that you were saying that you were having an issue dealing with. I was telling you to take it one step at a time. So
yes.
I would have to explain it to you from that position. When you're dealing with Messiah himself, you are dealing with the Father. And Messiah is simply the Father in flesh. You're ever going to only ever deal with one God. And God himself is not a separate entity. As an entity from the Son, it's him in another form. The Son is him in flesh. If I just want you to know me as the Son, when I'm in, if you're dealing with me in flesh, I'm the Son. When I return back to my throne, until I put all this stuff up under my foot, you're going to deal with me from the position of Son. At the white throne judgment, who you're dealing with is really the Father, but you know him as the Son. So when you say that you won't even get to see the Father, technically not true. You're going to see him in judgment. That of him you get to see. So I understand what you're saying. That's why I say that's a doctrine. But there is only one. And he is showing you from the standpoint of what I'm doing, this is a title that I want you to give to me. He could have said, you know what? I'm coming in the flesh, and I'm your heavenly Father. And I want you to know me as the Father when I'm in flesh. But he didn't do that. What he did was say, when I come in flesh, I want you to know me as the Son of Man. I want you to know me as the Son of Redemption. But it's me really the Father in flesh. So that's what we have to understand. That's what we have to know. So you get to meet him. It's just not on good terms. To meet him in his environment, to meet him and be like him, everybody's going to be changed into a spirit body. Everybody, good and bad. But the bad get thrown into the lake, and the good enter into the kingdom to live in the new heavens and the new earth, in the environment that is made for the Most High. It wasn't made for us in this form that we're in. So we must be changed to live in his environment, what we call heaven, on this earth. So I would have to speak to you again about the oneness of God, that there's only one. And so, yeah, there we're all going to meet him. Some of us through everlasting life in the new world, in the new earth, with the new heaven, the everlasting torment and pain in the lake. So I pray that answers your question, at least for right now. Because when we separate them, and this is what the scriptures do so that we understand relationship, but it tells us specifically who he is. And so we have to let the scriptures tell us who he is so that we really understand who Messiah is, who Yeshua was and still is, the Most High Elohim in flesh. But you don't know me as the Son. So again, I would have to walk you through that step by step so that when you read the scriptures, it's written in such a way. If you don't know these certain little things, then you will make two and three gods. Only one. And we must always keep it that way as one. And not one in purpose, not one in mind, not one with the same understanding. Literally, there's only one. So it says, when I come in the form of a man, this is how I want you to know me. You will know me as the Son of God. But it's really me, Father in flesh. And when I return into heaven, because he's dealing with flesh. And in his natural state, well, he can't die, can't be killed. And when he dies, his spirit can't die. Yeah, I know you believe in Father and Son, and I believe in Father and Son, but from the standpoint of understanding, who are they? The only difference. Yeah, so I would have to, like I said, I would have to step you through that. And again, you would have to, truthfully speaking, I'll put it this way to you, my sister. The only one that's going to really be able to reveal it to you, I can show you 1,000 different ways, but the only one who can really reveal who he is to you is himself. He has to reveal it. So we'll table that one for right now. But, you know, I'm still willing to show you. And then what the Most High has had to get me to see and had to get me to understand as a teacher, that if he doesn't show you, I can't make you see what he doesn't want you to see. He has to want to reveal it to you. I can show you in the scriptures, but he has to reveal it to you for you to get the understanding so that you know that what you're dealing with is him in everything. Everything you're dealing with the Most High in is him. Himself, just in a different form. So, yeah, we'll table it for right now. And whenever you're ready, because I know you said you weren't ready yet, whenever you're ready for that discussion, we can have it, and I can walk you through it. And then it's going to be up to him to actually reveal himself as this is who he is, who you're dealing with. All right. Any other questions in this area before we dismiss for this morning? No other questions? All right. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father, God, we thank you for your word on this morning. We thank you for allowing us to see that it is your judgment and your statute that you have said that if we would do them and obey them, teach them to our children, that the nations would know that we are a wise people, a wise and understanding people, and that you would be with us, that you would always go before us, and that in the end, that if we don't obey you, that you will consume us, you will get rid of us, because we will have proven ourselves to be not worthy. But if we prove ourselves to be worthy, and we are obedient to your voice, we shall become like you. And we also will have to be a consuming fire, consuming unrighteousness, consuming lawlessness. Father, we want to be like you. We want to take on your nature. We want to become like you, Father, in all things and in all ways. And we know that this is our proving ground. This is our testing ground. This is where we learn to be like you. And only those that pass the test that you choose are going to make it in. So, Father, help us become like you. Whatever is in our hearts, Father, that is not like you, take it out. Show it to us that we might get rid of it. That each and every day we become more and more like you, that when we should meet you, that we will be ready for the conversion, that our being will be such that we want to live and are living holy and righteous and sanctified lives, and we are not being consumed by this world and its nature, and that we are preparing ourselves for the world to come, the world that's going to be eternal. But most of all, Father, help us that we should get ready and to get those people ready that judgment is coming. Your judgment is coming. And that you are about to seal up the ark as you did in the days of Noah. You're about to stop saving souls. Father, help us to see that because it's not raining, you're not having a physical ark built. But it's the ark of covenant. The ark of being in the right covenant. And not worshiping a false god, but worshiping you and keeping your statutes, your laws, your commandments, your ordinances, your judgment that is the covenant. And that if we are not keeping Sabbath, then we are outside your covenant. We're outside your ark. And the day is coming when you're going to close the door and you won't allow anybody else to enter in. And all who remain outside of the covenant are going to meet you in your natural state, unchanged. All those that meet you that are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they will be able to stand in your presence. But the rest will be consumed. So, Father, help us. And we might be able to meet you and be like you. For it is my desire to see you face to face, Father. To look upon your glory, just as Moses wanted to look upon your glory and be in awe of you. Father, keep each and every person listening this morning, keep them and their families safe. Encamp your angels around them. Keep them safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Elohim. Keep his commandments. Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your day. Happy Sabbath. And here we go.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah. stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, are you live forever? Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? I don't have you. It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, are you live forever? Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Brother Miles, happy Sabbath.